Welcome to the Peace Apostolic Ministries podcast. For more information about Peace or other resources from John Alley, visit peace.org.au. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at our website, peace.org.au/give, or use the donate button in our app. Thanks for joining with us today. We hope you enjoy the following message.
We look back upon our lives, we do see that everywhere, in everything, your goodness is there, your faithfulness is there. Lord, we are thankful for life. We're thankful for, you know, our families and this group of people here at Peace. Lord, we're thankful for your hand on every part of our life. Lord, you've told us in the Gospels how, you know, you know about the sparrows, you know about the flowers, and you're a good Father who knows about us as well. And Lord, it's amazing that we can just rest in the goodness of God and the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father who loves. Lord, we are so thankful this morning. And Lord, I ask today that as we share your word, share about listening, Lord, I ask that hearts would be open to receive. In the name of Christ, I rebuke every evil scheme, every evil work to distract or confuse. I refuse permission for that. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd be the Spirit of truth here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you know, next week we're going to have, starting tomorrow at 6 o'clock, well, we have normal prayers from 6 to 7, but starting at 7 o'clock, we're having a week of listening prayer every day, 7 till 6 at night. And that should give them time to put the video back in. So listening. We're going to start a week of listening prayer. And I got asked to share, well, firstly longer, but then it's been a bit of a crazy week. So I just said, listen, I'll share a few minutes at the start and then a few others can share a few things about listening too. To be a listening people is, you know, it's one of the things that make us a people of, you know, the people of peace. It's one of our values. We've known from that first call to listen in 1997 that we should be a people who listen. We've known this. It's part of what makes us up. And I shared on this a little while ago, and I just thought I'd just, you know, remind people about that value of being a people who listen. Our calling is to find God, and we need to spend time and pay attention. But as you know, our world has become a constant feed of information and entertainment. Our phones go everywhere with us. We're always connected to the internet. You know, I bet probably in the last few minutes since I've been talking, someone's been on the internet in this room for sure. That'd be a guarantee. There's ads on every flat surface. I mean, you see it now crossing the bridge, you know, the new ads go up. Everywhere you go, there's things going. There's a 24-hour news cycle. And every bit of information enters our brain with one goal, and it's to gain control of our attention, our resources. Like, we have time resources and we have money resources, and everything that's going on in the world right now, that's their goal. They want those resources, okay, and they're just bombarding you. So with so much information battling for a space in our mind, it's no wonder that our attention span seems to be shrinking. And it's interesting, I do this, how, you know, we abandon online videos that might take a few seconds to start, you know, get on the phone, watch this. Forget it. You know? And little do we forget the good old dial-up, you know, remember the dial-up internet, and you'd hear that beep, 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 you know, you wait. It'd be like 2 minutes to even connect. Anyway, so, and it seems that users with fast internet connectivity are more impatient than those with slower connectivity. And we all relate to those smaller distractions. We all have them. But what about larger ones? They seem to go unnoticed. But yet it's some of the larger ones that distract us from our most significant goals. And things like our own lucrative and powerful careers take away our talents to become benefits to our own local community, or the drive to maintain or have a large home may pull us away from actually caring for the people who inhabit that home. And the time we take up on Facebook checking up our status and our friends takes away the time from being with our actual friends. And opportunities to spend money on newer and trendier possessions will divert us from using it to accomplish, you know, greater goods in our world. Anyway, these are the distractions that cause irreversible harm in our lives. And unfortunately, most of the time, they go unnoticed and our lives go unevaluated and our greatest goals go unmet. There we go. Yeah, we're back on. Okay, great. So David Alley was speaking on listening last week, and he finished with this scripture from Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who is thirsty, come to the waters, and you without money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money on what is not food and your wages on what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and you will enjoy the choicest of foods. Pay attention and come to me. Listen so you will live. And my dad always says to me, how do you spend without money? And it's spending time and paying attention. And this is what we're called to in this next week, spending time and paying attention. The interesting thing is just three verses on from this scripture that David shared last week is Isaiah 55:6. And it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call to him while he is near. And to me, that's a bit of an interesting confrontation that says there is a time where maybe our chance to find him might pass. Like, it just says, seek the Lord while he can be found. So we're about to start a week of listening prayer, but there's also other ways that we as a people can be a listening people. So one of them is meditation. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on this law day and night. This person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in every season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. So what is meditation? Meditation is listening to God's word. It's reflecting on God's works. It's rehearsing God's deeds. And it's ruminating on God's law. And repentance and obedience are essential features in any biblical understanding of meditation. So it's just like when Jesus was talking often in parables, it's not good enough to just hear. It's the ones who hear and then obey. So repentance and obedience are essential features. And meditation, examples of meditation are right through the scriptures, right from Genesis. Isaac, it mentioned he used to meditate at night. Elijah, and listening for that still small voice. David, through the Psalms, would contemplate God's ways. Jeremiah spoke in his book about the word of God being a fire shut up in his bones. And Paul to Timothy said, meditate so your progress will be evident to all. Isn't that an interesting scripture? Meditate so your progress will be evident. And we all know Jesus would often withdraw to a lonely place to be with his Father. Meditation is simple as hearing God's voice and obeying his word. The truth is the God of the universe desires our fellowship. And right from before the fall, when God used to walk with Adam and Eve in the garden, right from then through Abel and Noah and Abraham, Moses, who saw him face to face, God still desires our fellowship. Meditation, and even you'll find this in this next week of listening prayer, meditation is not about emptying your mind. Meditation is about filling it. It's about creating an emotional and spiritual space which allows Christ into our life. And, in Revelation, in Revelation 3, which was a verse or letter written to Christians, not to un-Christians, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So that wasn't written to people who didn't know Christ. That was written to people like us. And, Christ is there just pleading for us to create a bit of space, open that door and allow Christ into our lives. study. Listening leads to a complete transformation of a person. It replaces old destructive habits with new life-giving habits. And the good thing about study is it changes your habits. And Paul in Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, but he said to be transformed by reading Scripture. Philippians says, whatever is lovely, think on these things. And study is a primary vehicle, believe it or not, to change habits. And at the moment, I'm doing some study on counselling, and I'm not sure I want to be a counsellor now, but that's fine, because what I have found, I mean, I'm not studying very fast. It's like one subject a semester. But what I've found is it's slowly changing the way I think and the way I write and the way I read things, just slowly. And you don't think that by studying just a certain subject, I'm sure probably a lot of subjects would do, you don't think that by studying it would change your life, but it does. Like, I read things differently now and I write things differently now. It's quite amazing what study will do. And this one, we're focusing on studying the Word of God. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And many of us are in bondage to fears and anxieties because we don't study. Because good feelings will not free us, and ecstatic experiences will not free us. One thing will free us is the truth, John 8:32. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, in the Old Testament, they were instructed to write the laws on our gates and the doorposts. That was one of the instructions. They used to write the laws down. But in the New Testament, you know, in newer days, we're instructed to write them on our hearts. And there's only one way to write things on our hearts. It doesn't get in there by itself. It's, you know, it's not lottery, and some people just get it in there by accident. You know, or by, if we want to write the laws of God in our hearts, we need to study. Meditation tends to be a bit more devotional, you know, talking about meditation, but study is analytical. But both are seeking God's plan for your life. And to set up on the board, everybody studies. And we will conform to the order of what we study. So if we choose to, you know, study entertainment, or if we choose to study Facebook, or if we choose to study TV, they're the sort of habits that will become evident in your life. So when Paul wrote to Timothy and said, study to show you that your maturity will be evident, then if we decide to study like social networking as our thing, we study several hours a day, that also becomes evident to other people. I'm not sure if you realize that. But when you meet someone, what they study is very evident on the outside. And so everyone studies, and we just need to be to make choices about what that's going to what we study determines the habits that are formed. And lastly, I want to talk about solitude. Solitude and silence. You know, Jesus, when he came to us, he called us from loneliness to solitude. But the interesting thing is, solitude is still, you know, spending time by yourself. But it's not loneliness. But our fear of being alone drives us to noise and crowds. We keep a constant stream of words, even if they're inane. Has anyone ever visited someone and the TV is just going on in the background, even if no one's watching it? In fact, I've been to a lot of houses, and you walk in and there's no one there, and the TV just goes nonstop, and or the radio. And somehow in our culture, we've trained ourselves. It's that studying, creating habits. We've trained ourselves to love noise. And so we keep a constant stream of words, even if they're inane, so that we're not condemned to silence. Solitude is waiting for God to focus on him and let him fill us. So instead of talking, we listen. Without silence, there is no solitude. But silence is not just the absence of speech. Simply to refrain from talking without a heart listening to God is not silence. And there's an old proverb that says, those who open their mouths close their eyes. And the purpose of silence and solitude is to be able to see and hear. So the old proverb said, as soon as you start talking, you just stop that ability to see things and hear things. So why can't we bear to remain silent? It makes us feel helpless. See, what we do is we use words to manage and control others. And therefore, if we are silent, who takes control? We know if we have faith and trust, God will. But silence is intimately related to trust. The tongue is our most powerful weapon. The Bible talks about it become a powerful weapon. But it's our most powerful weapon of manipulation. A frantic stream of words flow from us. Adjusting our public image, like you think about Facebook, even though they're written words, you know, you think about the public image we're always trying to put on Facebook. We fear what others see, and then we talk to straighten out their understanding. I need to help you understand of my actions. And so we talk, trying to justify ourselves. And silence stops self-justification. And what we need to do, we need a different outcome to that. We need to let God become our justifier. Anyway, there's a bit of an introduction to our week of listening prayer. But I don't want that to be just an introduction to this week of listening prayer. Like I've said, listening is part of our value as a people. And so we need to meditate, study, and find solitude and participate in listening prayer regularly to let our maturity become evident to all.
You're going to have a little bit of a smorgasbord this morning. So this is the second course. And I have five principles that I hope will help you. We're adjusting over now to the scriptures. And I have five principles or keys, but in them there'll also be an experience, story, and a cost. So see if you can pick these up. Now first, we're going to look at Exodus 3, verses 1 to 4. This is the story of Moses. He, at this stage, is in the wilderness, and he's been given this job to look after his father-in-law's sheep. So he's quite busy because he's got a whole herd of sheep, and he's taken to the back end of the desert. Now, many of you know this story, and there's a bush burning, but it's not being consumed. So particularly verse 3, so Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. But here is the key, and we're talking about listening. When the Lord saw that he had gone over, God called to him. So here's the principle. Everyone has business. Everyone has jobs. Everyone has children. Everyone has chores. Everyone has things all the time. Moses was in the midst of things, lots of them, covered in wool, hundreds of them. But he draws aside. That's the first principle. You must draw aside from your working day, from whatever's going on. You've got to deliberately take an action. And this is decision. So you might have already decided a week of listening prayer, oh, it's too hard. Oh, I've got to start work at here, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do that, and then I've got to go home, cook meal. It's a decision. Now, many years ago, after we had the initial listening prayer, when we were in Yamba Road, anyone remember the Yamba Road offices and showroom? Well, downstairs under the offices, there was a prayer room. And John decided that we staff should, every morning, start with an hour of listening prayer. Great. Because I really struggled with listening prayer, and you'll get a few stories as we go along. So, this morning I turn up, no one else there. Me. So, you know what you start thinking? Well, why should I go down? I'm the only one here. What's the point of me going down by myself? Where is everyone else? Why aren't they here listening? So I'm having this argument with myself. And then you start to think about things like motive. Well, what's my motive? I'm only doing this because John said to do it, or is there value in this? I don't know if your mind goes like this, but, you know, by the time we get to the end of this and you'll hear the whole thing that happened in this whole hour, you know, for me it was, what's the point? Anyway, I was by myself and I was listening, but it was a decision. I could have gone upstairs. See, no one else would have known because no one else was there. I could have gone upstairs and just done my work as normal. No, I decided to stay. First point, you've got to draw aside. It's a decision. 1 Samuel 30, there's a few verses here. It's a story of David with his army. 1 Samuel 30, 3 to 8. And all the army had gone off and they were fighting. And when they come back to Ziklag, does anyone remember this story? All their wives, all their children, all the possessions had been taken. Now, his army's not very happy with him, and they wanted to stone him. But here's what David does. David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them?" Now, in the natural, you would say, well, this is a no-brainer. You've got all these guys who stand around and want to stone you because, you know, all their wives and children are all gone. And so wouldn't it be an automatic thing to, okay, guys, let's go and get them? No. I see David drew aside, inquired of the Lord. And the Lord says, pursue them. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. The point here in listening is that we can have assumption. We used to go away as a leadership team with our wives and families. A few times we went down to Driftwood for a couple of nights prayer. And there was one occasion when we had a whole bunch of things we needed to resolve here in the church. There's three or four major issues we needed answers to. So we go away, and in our minds, we're going to get answers from the Lord on these issues. And so we go away and we, you know, we listen, and, you know, we all have cups of tea because, you know, John has to have tea breaks. That's good. And then we have a little discussion. Has anyone heard anything, you know? So this goes on for three or four sessions and we're not hearing anything. And then one word comes. And this word seems totally unrelated to anything that we're asking. And from memory, it was the word repentance. So then we're trying to figure out, well, what are we repenting for or whatever. Anyway, cut the story short. We went through a period of repentance. When we get back, would you believe that all those issues had been fixed? So, submission. Submission is a big part of listening prayer. You might come along, you might have lots of questions in your own mind, you might think you're here for a certain reason, but basically it's submitting. So you've decided to come, then you submit to the process. Psalm 46:10. Philip talked a little bit about this, so I want to just throw a few thoughts in. Be still and know that I am God. Any Marthas here? Give me a wave if you're a Martha. Only one or two, gee. I'm a Martha, and be still. Be still. There are always things to do. Always things to think about, to plan and to organize. So I've been thinking about this because in my experience as a listening prayer, the first thing that you really have to overcome is inner noise. Inner, inside noise. You know what I'm talking about? You think, oh, I'll just sit here for a moment. And David gave us some clues on that last week. Get a notepad, write them all down. As they come, don't persecute yourself or beat yourself up. We've all done that before. It doesn't work. You've got to get them out on paper. And if you end up with a foolscap page full, that's fine. Get them out. The second thing is outer noise. Now, if I asked you to just stop and be absolutely silent here for a moment, what would happen is you'd start thinking, and that's the inner noise. But then you would hear the hum of the air conditioners. And then you might hear a bird on the roof. And our front veranda looks over Rockhampton. Sometimes I go out there and sit to pray. And often I'll sit there and I'll close my eyes, get rid of the inner noise. You know what I hear next? Is birds. And then all of a sudden, I hear 6, 7, 8 different sort of birds. But when I went out there, I didn't hear any. But they were all there. All that noise was already there. And then there's the jackhammer cracking up the rocks over the other side where they're building that new house. That's the external noise. And there'll be noise. You only think there's no noise until you stop the inner noise. Once you get rid of that, then you've got to deal with the second lot of noise. Then there's the tuning. Now, Philip referred to this, but in 1 Kings, now Elijah has gone out sulking at the back end of the desert in the cave, run away from Jezebel. And a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there's a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And that was the Lord. So there was all that noise, the roaring wind and the earthquake. No, God wasn't there. So what are we learning from this? Well, overcoming. So back to Yamba Road prayer meeting. So I had decided I'm staying. I'm submitted. I'm going to listen. Well, after I had wrestled with the inner noise and then the outer noise and then the tuning, visiting several desert islands, catching many fish, fixing quite a few things at home, all in my mind, about 55 minutes into the hour, I think, this was a total waste of time. I might as well have just gone up and got a whole decent hour's work done. And bing! Suddenly, I realized God had said something. But you know where he said it? He didn't say it in here where the big fight and wrestle and argument and distraction was going on. He spoke into your spirit. Into my spirit. And I sat there and I'm thinking, God, I know you've spoken, but I don't know what you've said. So I had to ask him. And you know, it's that whole thing with Jesus speaking in parables. You know, David mentioned this last week too, I think. They came to him and said, what are you talking about, Lord? I had to do that. I knew he'd spoken, and then he took me through a whole thing. I won't take the time. But he then led me to the scripture and then he showed me things that opened my eyes. So, be still. There's the overcoming. And if you only come for an hour, it could feel like that whole time you're wrestling with your inner noise, outer noise. I also remembered, there used to be a dear brother who's not here anymore, but in prayer meetings, he used to, you probably can't hear this, but he'd do this all the way through the prayer meeting. He used to drive me insane. Noise, distractions, overcoming, obedience. Number 4, Isaiah 40, 31. The NIV doesn't use the same word. The older translations say, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. And Psalm 40, verse 1 says, wait patiently. It's interesting because if you go and study the root of this word in the Hebrew, it talks about expectancy. You know, it's not just a pointless waiting. There's actually an expectant. The new translations say hope, but expectancy is more of an accurate word. It's not just hoping God speaks, we're expecting Him to speak. Now, the timing of that is up to God. But here is the key, waiting patiently. So back to my story, I wasn't really patient. I was frustrated. I was not used to the waiting, you know. And again, Philip's just talking about this stuff. We are not used to waiting now. You know, we're used to the instant. You press the button, out it comes. And you ever seen someone, well, it's usually on sitcoms, but, you know, they put their money in, it doesn't come out, and they start smashing the machine and kicking it and tipping it over. We want that thing now. And unfortunately, as Christians with our prayer life, we've tended to always come with, God, this is my problem. I need an answer and I need it now. And He says, well, I'll just sit down and let's sit together for a while and let's talk about it. But we do all the talking and we don't do any of the listening. Therefore, we've got to have a right motive. And this is where we come to the final point, because your motive is critical. And, you know, in my experience, was I doing it for the right motive? And that's always a challenge. And I was going to finish off with, Philip's already spoken to this issue, but it's important. So what have we got? We've got decision, we've got submission, we've got obedience, we've got patience. And Isaiah 55, spend time, pay attention, sacrifice. Now, this is another thing that Westerners are not real keen on, sacrifice. But, see, this is for God. This week of listening isn't necessarily to get an answer to your question or to see a way forward on something. This is to give God time. This is to come and sit with Him. If He says nothing, that's His prerogative. And if you've got to wrestle, as I'm hoping I don't have to quite do as much this time as other times, because it is a struggle. And I think David's message last week didn't leave us in any doubt about that. He wasn't promoting it as this is going to be a joyous event. It could very well be a joyous event because the Lord might do some wonderful things, but you've got to go through this process. So let's prepare ourselves. And if you had already decided that you're too busy, well, maybe you just reconsider. So let me just say those things again. Decision, submission, obedience, patience, sacrifice. Thanks, David.
Well, hopefully you're all feeling like you're going to be a part of this week of listening prayer, and I encourage everyone to go to some of it. And you might wonder why you would want to do such a thing. Well, we'll get back to that in just a second, but I want to take you on just think with me for a minute. What's something you've always wanted in life? New car, a certain type of house, a good retirement. You know, there's things that a lot of people want to get, and their lives are oriented towards getting those things. You know, so you might want a certain standard of living, so therefore you need to have two jobs. You know, you need to work, you need to have a second job, you might need your wife to work, so you're really busy to have that certain standard of living because there's things you want. Well, let's just imagine for a moment that you've got everything you want. Just put yourself in that place where you've got the ultimate cars that you want, You've got the ultimate home that you want. You get to go on those holidays you want every year. You've got a bustling stock portfolio. You've got money in the bank, a great superannuation. You've got everything. You've got a happy family. You've got children that are well-behaved. You've just got it all. It's all perfect. Okay, just imagine you've got everything. Now, what's the point of your life? Now that you've got it all, now what? I've had the Lord ask me this question any number of times. What do you want me to do for you? And I remember when I was young, I used to think, God's given me that question, you know, that I could have anything. Woo! And I remember asking for things that I wouldn't ask for again. I mean, it's not that you don't want those things, but you realize the novelty of getting certain things wears off pretty quick. In the end, I realize there's only one thing worth having, and that's the Lord himself. If you had, there's plenty, you know, if having the perfect life with every single thing all ticked off was the answer, there would be a lot less unhappy millionaires in the world. But it seems like celebrities, their lives are in a mess. Millionaires can't keep a marriage together. Like, it just seems like the more you have doesn't actually solve your problems. If you got everything you're striving for, you still wouldn't have anything. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, God appears to Abraham and he says, "I am your shield and your reward." Abraham actually was a wealthy guy. He had a lot of stuff. But the Lord says to Abraham that he was his reward. If I could have the Lord and know the Lord, that would count for more than any of those other things. Do I want a happy family? Yes. And I pray for that, and I do my best to work towards that. And I have a happy family anyway. But do I want good things for my kids? Yes. We work towards that. Do I want a great home? Would I like to have a bucket load of money in the bank? Yes. And I try to save and be wise. And I still do the best I can do with the knowledge I've got to have better outcomes with money and cars. And I try not to be foolish and waste money on dumb things and, you know, don't gamble and all that stuff. You do what you know to do. But in the end, if every single thing went perfect, if I was Warren Buffett and I had made every financial decision perfectly in my life so that by the time I got to his age, I was like the third wealthiest or second wealthiest person in the world, it's all still completely meaningless because you sit there. Imagine Warren Buffett in his chair reading stock market brochures every single day so that he's so informed so that he can make the next wise financial decision. Warren's 80-something. He's going to die within a few years. And what was it all for? It was all completely meaningless. But we can know the Lord. Well, how are we going to know the Lord? The scriptures have already been read. Mr. Hood's third point. Be still and know that I am God. So it's not about coming to this week of listening prayer so that we can get something from God. You know, like I already made that point last week. We're not listening to get something. But even then, some people might think, oh, we're listening so we can get ahead spiritually. You know, it's not even that. Even though we'll get that, knowing the Lord does get us ahead spiritually. It's just there's a God and he created everything and he's wonderful. And we have no idea how wonderful he is, and we just have a chance to know him a bit. That's something worth aiming towards. But considering the average human being lives 70, 80 or 90 years on this planet and doesn't probably spend more than about a few hours of their life contemplating him in any serious way, we've got a chance to spend a whole week contemplating a wonderful God. If nothing else, we're just sitting there with him. And there's something nice about that. Sure, maybe you go through all that struggle that Mr. Hood has outlined. Yep, that happens to me a lot too. But in the end, you know that you're sitting with God and you want to sit with God, and it tells the Lord something about what you'll want. Now, I'll say that in just a second. I'm just distracting my point. The Lord is wonderful and he's worth making an effort for. Wouldn't you think? Yeah. Is it an effort? Yes, it's an effort. I can't think of too many times of prayer of any type that haven't at least begun with some effort. They often end very happy. Prayer often ends full of the love of the Lord, full of the joy. The Lord meets you. But I can't think of too many times where I've leapt into prayer. So it's an effort, yes, at least at the start. You've got to make the effort, but God is worth making the effort for. As it is, everything else in life we make an effort for. We make an effort to try to get that investment home, or to, you know, get the nicer car, or, you know, we drive our children around to sporting events, and, you know, like, we're constantly making an effort for all of these things which are going to pass away. The Lord's the only eternal thing that there is, the only thing that will not pass away. He is worth making an effort for. So listening starts in the morning. Well, the prayer meeting starts at 6, but the listening starts at 7, and then it's going to go for 6 days. And there's plenty of time in that all those 6 days for you to find an hour. Not everyone will be able to get... Now, I'm going to be at the majority of the week. I'm not there for the entire 12 times 6, 6 days times 12 hours. I'm not there for the whole lot, but I'm going to be there for about 3/4 of it. And other leaders in the church are going to be there for a collective majority of it. And between us all, we'll be there for the whole lot. So when you turn up, you may or may not see any individual person, but there'll be leaders there for the whole lot. Plus, we also work here. So it's, you know, our work is now the listening. So that helps, you know. Wouldn't that be great? But we are also committing some of our after-work time to it as well. It's not like we're only coming for our and getting paid for it. It's not like that. We're also committing some of our not getting paid time to it too. But that is one of the lurks of working in the church, is you get to go to lots of prayer meetings and get paid for it. It doesn't mean you're in the mood for them though. So it's still an effort and a sacrifice, and plus often in the church you don't get paid that well. So a lot of people don't want to work for a church because you can get way better pay somewhere else. I just heard of some like 22-year-old that just got a job earning $70,000 a year, you know, doing paperwork. Well, there you go. She's 20,000 plus up on me, and she doesn't even have a degree. Well, see, there's a lot of jobs out there better paying than church jobs. So, yeah, sure, we might get paid to go to prayer meetings, but we're in it for love, not for money. So let's just make that point. But we're also attending listening hours outside of when we're getting paid, and that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to find a slot of your time to get there. Now, it's really, really important that you identify that and stick to it, because this is what's going to happen. You'll say to yourself, oh, I'm going to go down for, let's say, 3 hours. Saturday morning, 3 hours, or tomorrow's a public holiday, 3 hours on Monday. Or you might say, you know, take the kids home from school, drop them off, head down for the last 2 hours of the day. You might decide, but when you get there, you're starting to get all fidgety, restless, all the inner noises running around, and you suddenly remember, oh my gosh, there was that thing. And because it's going to be really, really easy to just say, oh, I've been here 15 minutes, I've done my bit. No, you haven't done your bit. You decided 2 hours. You've got to decide the amount of time in the beginning, and that's the amount you're doing. Because if you don't decide the amount of time, whatever amount of time goes from when you start to when you get fidgety, that's all the amount you're going to contribute. You'll give up at that point. It's like people who say, I'm going to fast for a few days, and they don't know how long. Well, as soon as they get hungry, they give up. That's how long they fast. So it's not real fasting. The point of that, like the point with fasting, is to decide how long, and that's how long you're doing it, and you're going to be hungry, but you've got to be hungry for it to be worth doing. So if you're going to sit in the Lord's presence, of course you're going to get fidgety and restless, and you're going to want to give up after 20 minutes and all of that, and you're going to remember that somebody had a birthday and you had to pick up the cake from someplace and all that. You're going to remember all that stuff. No, you said you're coming for an hour. Stay for the hour. Chain your legs to the chair. Whatever you've got to do. Tell the person, you know, tell your husband or your wife, I'm going to the listening prayer meeting for 2 hours. That way, if you come home early, they're going to say to you, if your husband or wife comes home early, say, couldn't handle it, hey? Bit of social pressure there. Keep you in the prayer meeting. So that's what you got to do. You got to decide what you're doing and you got to force yourself through. Because how else are you going to make it? And I can assure you that if you listen regularly, it is not as painful after a while. I do listen regularly, not an hour, like not days on end, like what we're going to be doing. So there's another struggle of a type in that. Like I've had to plan in advance things that are important that would have been happening this week and do them in advance so that I'm freeing up the week. I've had to put other things off till after. So I've done my best to clear the distractions, but there'll still be some that will come up and I'm going to have to navigate them as creatively as I can to make the week be free. And but that helps me sit still for as long as possible. And so there's other struggles in it for me as well. But I have learned, I regularly sit and listen for 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes, sometimes an hour. And I don't have the struggle in sitting still for that long because I've kind of practiced it regularly. If you haven't practiced it regularly, just be encouraged. You'll get there. But, you know, some of you, this will be your first time. So do you really want to know who God is? Well, of course you can know about God through reading the Bible. We can get to know God through fellowship with each other, and we get to know about God through coming to church and hearing sermons. And we can see God in our lives as he answers prayer and works with us. But listening is one of the ways, sitting still in God's presence, of knowing God. Don't we want to do that? Do we want to know God? Yes, we do. So we're going to start in the morning, 6 o'clock. And has anyone decided yet? Have you all decided a spot you're going to go? Has anyone thought about this yet? Yeah. If I am the only person there all day tomorrow, I'm not going to be. My father's coming tomorrow. So I know of at least two people who will be there tomorrow. But if I was the only person all day tomorrow, do you think I would be happy? Yes, of course I'll be happy. My happiness doesn't depend on you. I learned a long time ago not to let my happiness depend upon people. I'd be a very sad individual if it did. Because we are just all weak people who let others down all the time, all right? So yes, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy because I'm with the Lord. But don't go home and say to yourself, oh, he'll be happy. I don't need to go. I'm going to be there most of the week. I'll know if you don't come. And we pastors, we talk. Ah, that's so-and-so, he or she, they're slackers. Couldn't get to a single minute of the week of listening prayer. Look, if you start work at 9, come at 8. Come for an hour. Just get ready. 1 hour earlier than normal for a day or two or three that week. And just come for an hour and then go to work. If you finish at 5, come for the rest of the day until 6. Do it a couple of times that week. If you like to sleep in on Saturday, don't for once. Come and give your sleeping in hours to the Lord. Come here at 7 on Saturday morning or join Philip at 6 for the prayer meeting and then listen for a few hours. Tomorrow's a public holiday. What would you be doing tomorrow? Would you be going to the shopping fair? Well, come here and don't spend your money. you'll be better off financially at the end of the day, as well as spiritually. There's plenty of slots for you. If you're a mum and you've got kids and it's your 24 hours per day job, well, why don't two mums get together and tag team for a couple of hours? You go to the listening prayer for an hour and I'll watch the kids, and when you come back, I'll go and watch, and you watch the kids. Just tag team. Just do that for a couple of hours and give each other a go. Look, if you want to be there, there's probably a way to figure it out. Unless you break your leg and the ambulance rushes you to hospital and ties you down to bed, and you know, and you can't get out for a week, unless something happens, or you know, you get kidnapped or whatever, you know, this, you're probably going to be able to get to some of it, right? So your job this morning, before you go home, is to decide, right? Decide, because, and once you decide, don't be a chicken and back out, because we as a church want to be a people who know God. And we're going to seek him through silence. Hey, buddy. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come. And we're going to sing with a final song. We're going to close the service this morning with a final song. And I want to bless you. And but you must not leave without deciding how exactly you're going to participate. Now, this is a thing we're doing together. So it's really, really good if as many of us can be a part of it, okay? Just out of curiosity, who has never, ever, ever done listening prayer before? If you've never, ever listened, done listening prayer once, put up your hand. So anyone that's never listened, there's just a few people. So most of you have had a go at it before, and you'll know it's not as scary as you think, which is great. And if you've never done it before, here's your chance. So pick a nice song, and I'm going to pray and bless you, and then after we sing, then it'll be time for some tea and coffee. So Father in heaven, we thank you that we've got this tremendous opportunity to spend time with you in silence, and I thank you. I believe, Lord, that you will speak to us through this week, that through this week of silence that we'll hear your voice, that that somehow we'll draw closer to you, we'll know you. And Lord, we are honored to have a God like you. And we don't have a God like, you know, the ancient Egyptians did, or you know, some of those gods that demanded we sacrifice our children or any of that crazy stuff. And even some of these modern religions, Lord, and all their weird, weird demands. I thank you. We just have a God who loves us. Lord, we want to know you. Father, bless your church. Bless us as we seek you. Lord, you said if we seek you, we will find you. I pray that as a church, we will find you. Lord, let your presence inhabit us. Let your presence inhabit the church. Inhabit the people. Lord, we are your temple. Come and fill the temple. And I ask, Lord, that we'd be given grace this week as we spend time in silence. I pray you'd help us to calm that inner noise and the outer noise, to hear you. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you'd be with us. So, Lord, bless your people. Prosper your people. Bless our families and our homes, our children, our futures, our finances, our jobs and careers and businesses. Lord, let your blessing rest upon it all. But most of all, even though we want to advance in all those things, Lord, bless us with a great knowledge of who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen.